right, let's get to a Bible study. Open up our Bibles and going back to John 17 tonight. And God willing, we'll finish up here. But we left off with some of the sweetest communion of love and encouragement to us. Jesus speaking with the Father, and as we kind of smiled and grinned of how much he loves us, but he was doting upon the disciples and just thanking the Lord, thanking the Father richly. He said, oh, thank you for giving me these fellas. Thank you for the faith. And, you know, we can be pretty critical of one another. We can be pretty critical of ourselves. And remember at this time, you talk about a mustard seed of faith that was going on in those disciples, because they were all ready to get out of town because, you know, and Jesus knew this. He's going to the cross. They've been basically fumbling over themselves. Peter said so many things that were just, oh, Peter, can you please keep your mouth shut? But the Lord, our precious Lamb of God, wasn't even thinking about that. All he was magnifying and everything that he was concentrating on was the precious believing in his friends, in the sons of God. Know how he thinks of us, brothers and sisters. Know how he adores us. And that should be such encouragement to us, that the glory that even a mustard seed of believing gives to him. And I was thinking a little bit further on this. You know, it's very special and wonderful. And I know we talk about needing. The Lord needs us. And I'm thankful. I believe there's a need for our praise and things of that nature. But let me tell you something. There's something far more special and wonderful than God needing us. God desired us. God willed to have us. This is God we're talking about. And this is what is so beautiful, is this precious plan that is full of his mercy, his grace, and his truth. So let's go ahead and read from verse 17 in chapter 17, John. And it says there, Jesus speaking to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we're thankful to God that once again we know and we hear and it's confirmed, the only truth is the word of God. The only truth there is the word of God. I know sometimes people say, well, I've got a word for you and I've got a this for you. Here's the word for you. It's the word of God. And that's why we need to know it and rightfully divide it. I, by the grace of God, want to be a vessel of the Lord that would be a mouthpiece that the Spirit gives utterance. And that's each and every one of us by the grace of God, that I don't know what to say. Matter of fact, I don't know what to do. And I'll tell you, I'm such a shy person, naturally speaking. Most times I just want to kind of go over in the corner and not to address anything. But God. But God. And he'll give you that encouragement. And it'll be a speaking of truth and love when it'll be of the Lord. And we thank God for that encouragement. But not only do we see that his word is truth, but he tells us here it's the word that sanctifies us. It's the word, it's the truth, this word of his grace that sets us apart unto him. And this is the wonderful encouragement that he says, come unto me, the word, out from among the camp, out from among the world. Go on over to Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And it says here, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So again, all them that are set apart to him. How wonderful this is in the encouragement that the inheritance to God is in the sanctified life. And the more truth that we receive, the more truth that we believe, the more truth that is worked effectually in our life, the more set apart we are to him. The more inheritance by the grace of God that we receive and he receives. Because remember that we are his inheritance. Now Paul, again, is in Acts, and I'm sure most know this. He's speaking to the Ephesian elders. He's speaking to people that really believe the word of God, that are filled with the Holy Ghost, that know the truth. And the only thing he commends them to is more of the word of his grace. There isn't anything that changes. It was the same from the very beginning. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. See, there's no gimmicks here. It's the word. And it's hearing the word. And hearing the word. and then again hearing the word and preaching the word. Amen. And this is what happens is in the wonderful word of his grace, that's where we begin to really grow up into him, praise God, and into all things. But the word of his grace is what sets us apart to him. Goes on to say later on in the word of God about even being a vessel that is only for the master's use. I think about how set apart even a rib portion from within the body of Christ. That rib that was set apart, taken out of, and yet again was set apart to be a readied wife. What a wonderful Lord and what a wonderful love story this is to us. Now, verse 18, John. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Again, speaking of these disciples. He sends the disciples into the world. But I don't want us to confuse this, brothers and sisters, with Matthew 28 and the Great Commission, which is the Great Commission speaks of there is to preach to every creature during the millennium. This will be the millennial time. If you go back and read the Word of God and have it rightfully divided, you'll find in Matthew 28, this is when Christ Jesus takes the throne as God. This is when everything has been given over to him. We know that Jesus has not taken the throne as God right now. He is at the right hand of the Father. Now, these are simple things that most Christians, when you speak to them, they say, well, that's right, that's true. But I thought, because I was told that this is the time of the Great Commission, where we're supposed to go out and preach to every creature. Listen to what Jesus was speaking of here. Let's go on back over to Matthew, and let's go over to the 10th chapter. And this is what's so wonderful about the Word of God. It's so perfect. It's so exact. But as the Word of God says, study to show thyself approved. That we can be encouraged of the Lord and to be a workman in that wonderful truth. It's a precious thing. But in Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 5 and 6, here's what Jesus says to the 12. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go now into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, he was sending them out to preach to Israel. And I thank the Lord how it says that Peter was the apostle to the Jew. The apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And it's so sweetly perfect and exact in how the Lord was sending these different ones out and speaking of and speaking the truth. But as we go back into John and into that 18th verse, into the 19th verse, it says that he sent them out because it was for their sakes. See, he sanctifies them and sets them apart for himself. So let's go ahead and read verse 19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So again, he does this for their sakes. He sets himself apart for them. We know that Jesus Christ separated himself like no other concept that we could have of being set apart in going to the cross alone, giving himself over to death for us, being made sin for us, an utter alone that, praise be to God, we would never have to face. Isn't that wonderful? See, we're never alone. He never leaves us nor forsakes us, but he was alone. And by the grace of God, it's something that we'll never know. He did it all alone, the wonderful, beautiful Lamb. As it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, there's so much wonderful biblical reference as we go back and forth here. I don't want to get going back and forth too much, but you just can't pass up on these things because it is line upon line and line upon line and precept upon precept. But in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, it says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He suffered all alone. There wasn't anybody there. The Father turned from him. He became sin for us who knew no sin. But listen to what goes on after that about the sanctification. So see, we see that Jesus was separated. He again separated himself for our sake. Listen to what goes on. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. See, the separation continues. Bearing his reproach. Isn't that interesting? When we're separated unto him, what happens? It's the sufferings that come with it. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And see, that's by the grace of God, that's the heart. When we're truly convinced and we really know that, you know what? I'm just an alien here. I'm just passing through. This isn't my life, praise God. My life, hallelujah, is seated in the heavens in Christ. I am now a citizen of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? I am now a son of God. And on Sunday, by the grace of God, I believe we're going to go more into, by the grace of God, we need to quit living our first birth and begin to live the life of the new birth. Who we are in Christ. Not who we think we are in this world, because by the grace of God, have we not been transformed from death unto life everlasting? It's the very life of Christ. The life that every Christian lives is the life of Jesus. You died, I died at the moment we accepted Christ as Savior, and now Christ liveth in me. But somehow, some way, this flesh want to live, Jesse, or Tom, or Mary, or Joe, or whoever it is. But by the grace of God, it's Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. Oh, God, I tell you, encourage us on. Those will be the winners. Those will be the winners. I'll tell you, what a reasonable service just to give our life over to him. Hallelujah. But as well here, he sets him, as well as setting himself apart to die upon that cross, he sets himself apart going to heaven. See, he ascended up on high. Amen? And we know that was for the disciples, but we also know it was for us because we remember back to chapter 16. Why did Jesus say he had to go? It's expedient for me to go because if I don't go, the Comforter's not going to come. And who is the Comforter? The Holy Ghost. Jesus said, look, I have to go because I have to send him unto you. Praise the Lord. And why? For more truth. And why do you need more truth? To be more separated unto him. Isn't that wonderful? See how this all works? See how precious this is? And we live in the time of all truth. The time, praise God, that there's nothing withheld. We live in the time of the dispensation of Paul's gospel, Christ Jesus and his wife. This is why it's the time of all truth. That was hidden from Daniel, from all of those types and shadows that the prophets, they wrote about. Remember it said, and they wrote them for us. They wrote those things for you. Because God, praise the Lord, saw you in Christ in ages past. He knew by the grace of God this would be an offering, praise the Lord, that he would perform the good work which he'd begun. Not that I've already apprehended, but I will tell you something. I am trusting him by the grace of God that he, by his grace, is going to cause this life to finish with a full joy. Amen. Amen? All right. See, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. I know I can't do anything of myself. I know in one moment on my own, I'm going to go right into unbelief. I'm going to go right into complaining, rebelling, and all of those things. But I'm beginning to learn about he that is in me. Oh, hallelujah. That greater is he that is in me. It just becomes so personal, so powerful, so all true to my life that he's in me. This is who I am in Christ. Hallelujah. And he that's in this world, we think of the enemy, but I think of this flesh that's in this world. I think of this flesh that I'm in and this sin that's in the flesh. And don't tell me, any one of you, that you got that handled, because you don't. But it's the yielding to the Spirit that I don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's the yielding, praise God, of the new man of who we are in Christ. And he's got to be fed. Oh, what an appetite he has. And he's got to be fed strong meat and purpose and that wonderful, as Brother Paul said, if by any means I might attain unto that. See, there was an absolute panting, as David said. Oh, I pant after him. There's a delirious that comes. And that life has to be unleashed for that by the grace of God and encouraged and nurtured all along. Amen? All right. Got to get back to this, but that's part of that anyways too. But, so Jesus went away to send the Holy Ghost, to send us the Comforter, to send us the one that would lead us into all truth, again, for the furtherance of sanctification, even complete sanctification, which is completely set apart unto him. Philippians 3:12 tells us that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. That's that set apart. That's that vessel just for the master's use. So, to recap here before we go on. In chapter 17, our precious Savior has asked seven perfecting things of the Father for us. In verse 11, he said to keep us. In verse 13, he said that we would have his joy. Isn't that wonderful? See, I don't want anybody's joy because the only joy there is his joy. See, it's the joy of the Lord that's my strength. Amen? Verse 15, he prayed, keep them from evil. Oh, my. And how the Holy Ghost does that. Isn't that wonderful? How the Holy Ghost empowers us that, you know what? I'm just so full of you, Lord. What was I even thinking of? And I don't want to even think of that. I just want to think of you. And that is how this fullness comes. It comes from the inside out. It just pushes all that stuff out. And then, in verse 17, he says to set them apart by thy truth. Now we're going to go into the last three as we come through here, and we just hit one of them. In verse 17, that we all be one with the Godhead. Verse 24, that we would be with him, and as well that we would behold his glory. So let's move on to verse 20. And it says, there neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Amen. Here I am. We believe. We believe. Amen. And we believe, praise God, through the word of these disciples and the word of the prophets. Praise the Lord. That we're encouraged. And it wasn't their word. It was the Holy Ghost that gave that to them. But praise the Lord, they wrote these things for us. And how wonderful that we live in this time. And it's precious that now Jesus, as he's discussing and just doting upon all of these ones, his thoughts turn to us. And how beautiful this is. He's thinking of us once again before we ever even got here. Isn't that wonderful? You think about parents, and I was thinking about Jess and Jessica. They're getting ready to have this sweet baby. Man, they've been preparing for this baby for quite some time. And that baby's not here yet. How much more so our Heavenly Father. In ages past, what he was preparing, praise God, with us in Christ, in the plan of God. How marvelous this is. And then to bestow all of this in full knowledge and in fullness of his love that we can have through Paul's gospel. But notice once again in verse 20, how is it given to them? How again do we believe? Through the word. Notice this. It's all believing the word of God. The only thing that pleases God is faith in his word. Faith in his word. You know, I love, so well, you love all the brethren and love all the brethren in the word of God. But David's so special to my heart because I could see how critical so many would be towards his life to say, well, wait a second. How could he be the greatest king of Israel there's ever been with all the things that he did? Even after he knew you, Lord, even after you told him that he was a man after your own heart, and yet he still bumbled along. How dare him? How dare me? Amen? But see, what God set straight, there was his sweet son, Solomon, and Solomon's a sweet man. So sweet to hear him about as he was younger, lifting up his hands to God and praising him and that wonderful communion. But see, what happened to Solomon is the example to us. He left the first love. He had these things that were in his life that allowed his heart to turn. Now we understand that it's not the first love of bridal love, but it was the truth that was offered to him. And that's why the word of God tells us Solomon didn't go after the Lord with all of his heart. He didn't. He held back. But David, even though those horrible things had occurred and those gaps and blunders, but yet he believed God. He believed God. And he was always fully purposed in going after the Lord. And see, that's so important, especially in our failures, brothers and sisters. That's where the enemy wants to get us defeated, is when we do lapse in faith, when we do wander off in unbelief or rebellion. But see, the thing he wants us to praise him for, he abides faithful. He didn't leave. He didn't forsake. Praise God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can never be separated from the love of God. It must be Wednesday night. I thought we'd all be running around here, but that's all right. I know he's running around in our hearts, and that's good enough. Praise the Lord. But this is such a wonderful thing because the Lord lets us know that he is enamored with one thing, and that is faith, our believing. And that is why the Holy Ghost is so essential. That's why John, again, is the journey to the upper room. We're getting to that upper room. We're getting to that time. And this is why this is so all-powerful, because as it tells us in, well, let's turn over there. We have a little bit of time. Romans 15. Let's go on over there together. And in Romans 15, chapter 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." So see, you want more joy and peace in your life? You need to believe the word of God. Amen. There's no other joy or peace coming but believing the word of God. It's not going to be on happenings and all of these things that you want it to be on, because those happens will happen for just a while, but they're just like happy. Happy is temporary. Joy is eternal. And it is. And this is what the Lord, and see, we can even have joy in our sorrow. The Lord tells us these things. That's why we need the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord and his peace is in believing God. And it says, and then it goes on to say, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that hope is not man's hope. It's not an if. It's just when it's going to happen. So if you really look at hope, what it is it's calling those things which be not as though they were. Hope is believing. Hope is believing God. Isn't that wonderful? And if you want to abound in believing God, you know what you need? You need the power of the Holy Ghost. If you're waning in believing God, you're waning in the Holy Ghost. Something is being held down. Something is being quenched. And you can't blame anybody but right here, because he's right there to uncork it. It is. I'm talking that we can, I mean, even when you're miserable, even when you're hurting in body, even when a trial that is just so beyond you, you can have the greatest joy and time in the Holy Ghost that you can ever have. I love to praise him when I'm happy. But man, when he comes in, when I'm sad, when I am groaning, when there is something that's in my life that, Lord, this is too much for me, and it's blowing out people that I love, that's the time of appreciating the Holy Ghost like it's never been. Because I know it's got to be of God and not of me. We can't work that thing up. That's just got to be the love of God that flooded in here and is abounding in the hope, abounding in believing, hallelujah, the truth. See, that's what the Holy Ghost does. He gives us the most holy, the most sanctified, set apart faith. You hear that in the Word of God? The most holy faith, praying in the most holy faith. That's praying in the most set apart faith. Well, how are you going to get set apart? It's the truth. So how does that truth happen? More and more and more, you need all truth. Who does that? The Holy Ghost. It's all there, isn't it? And it's evident, but as the Lord will say, how do I love thee? How many ways do you want me to count it, honey? We'll sit here all the time. Just listen to me, and here we go, and here we go, and here we go. Praise the Lord. Oh, he's beautiful. But see, only bridal truth sets you the furthest apart to him than anything. See, marriage, even the natural, think about this. And I mean, there's many of us that have come from incredible homes, incredible loving parents, incredible comfortable homes. But you know what? We leave them because we're in love. And we don't even think about leaving them. Do you? As I've said many times, my sweet wife, you know, thank the Lord. She had a wonderful home, wonderful mom, wonderful family, and all these things. And even lived in another state far away. But she loved me. And I know that even seeing how I prepared that little rental that we had, which was just atrocious, all she could do is smile, chuckle, and even love me more, because you know what? I'm with you. Now, she did change stuff real quick. But it was the thought of her lover that counted. But see, this lover, it's perfect. You don't need to redecorate nothing. He's the one that's preparing that mansion, praise God, for us right now. So it's just beyond beautiful. Isn't he wonderful? All right, let's go back to John verse 21. It says there, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So see, we are one in Christ. We know that. Praise the Lord. He does that. And that's done in that wonderful new birth. We know that we're one in him. But being one, this is being one, is something that only grace upon grace upon grace through faith can really manifest in us. See, you're one, but are you being one with him? There's a difference. Being. What are you trying to be? Just be. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's all there. But see, we start to think about this thing too much, and it's like, no, just let Christ live. And I'll tell you what, there'll be a being one that will begin to manifest. And I'll tell you what, oneness is the love testimony that witnesses greater than anything else. And it is. That's that oneness. That's entering into that love, brothers and sisters. As I mentioned earlier on, John 13:35, they knew that they were his disciples. They knew that they were the disciples of Jesus Christ because of their love one for another. It wasn't because they were quoting so much scripture. It wasn't because they knew so much. It wasn't because they attended church so much or whatever it was. It was because they loved one another. And if you think about that in a lot of ways, those must have been some characters. Because everything about them was very unlovely. And they probably, and some of them knew, well, you guys fought all the time. What are you doing loving each other now? You know, that kind of a thing. There was a change that went on. Amen. And that's by the grace of God. I want people to perceive that. And God just continue to work that in this place. There'll be things that go on. We understand that. There must be heresies among you. It won't ever be anything but the word of God in this place. It'll be what the Lord has told us. But what the Lord has offered us and encouraged us, he says that your love would abound more and more to one another. That there wouldn't be anything else that we want to see but any life in this place at any moment, at any time. Didn't matter who they were, what they were, whatever. This by the grace of God, that God has drawn that heart here to hear the word of God. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. So again, it's this love testimony. And love is the oneness that he's speaking of here. Again, we mentioned about the complete identity in the new birth, not the old one that we all had. That our life is in Christ. And when our life is in Christ and we yield to that, we don't yield to the lusts of the flesh. And what a oneness, praise God, in Christ and in the Father. Think about that, the oneness that's in Christ and in the Father, but then, and we in them. It isn't anything different from us, for us. He offers the same thing. He absolutely has done and given us the same thing. So even much the more. As it says there about Adam. Isn't that wonderful when here came Eve and all he could say was bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh? That was speaking of his wife. See, he knew that tenderness. That's what came out was that rib portion. Let's go on to verse 22 through 24. It'll all even come together a little more. And it says there, in the glory which thou gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. In them, and thou in me. I in them, and thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, and has loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, go on over to Isaiah 53 with me. This is going to close out in a big, well, I'm just hoping it's a trumpet sound as it closes out here tonight. How about you, huh? But this is how this thing does. It's as close as you get unless we got it. So in Isaiah 53:12, this is what this is getting at. Where he's talking about this reward, this inheritance. And see, Isaiah spoke of this. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So see, that was being said even back then. There was a preparing that it wasn't just that he was going to save us, is that we were going to inherit. We were going to participate. Praise the Lord. Now, God has given us a better thing. And even as the Word of God says, and with the Holy Ghost, and what will happen is he's given us all truth. And we have to us Romans 8:17. So let's go on over to Romans chapter 8, and let's see how it's said to us. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, the Lord tells us like this. Well, let's back up to verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. Isn't that wonderful? Just right there, it's so beautiful. That, praise the Lord, as his children, we are heirs. We're not kept, in a sense, apart. Matter of fact, the Lord tells us very sweetly in Galatians 4:1, that every child of God is a little Lord of all. Isn't that something? Isn't that wonderful? You think about this whole world fights about stuff all the time. This one has too much. This one has too little. Countries need more. They take this one and that one. It's all about what you have and what you got. Isn't that wonderful in the Lord? You got it all. You got it all. It's all there. For eternity. See, we have to get our minds off of this little vapor life and begin to look up, look into that wonderful Word of God, that we are everlasting with him. And this is what he's speaking of. And God help us to set our affections on the things above. But see, it didn't just end there with heirs. If I was just a child of God and an heir of God, that would be so beyond what I could ever ask or think. And you too, you know that. Because we were all dead in our trespasses and sin. We did not deserve it. It was this wonderful work of mercy and grace upon that cross that we deserve nothing, but he gave us everything. Amen? And he gave us his life. The plan of God is so beyond perfect, beautiful. We know it's not of man. We know this is of God. And I love that about our Lord. I love that about what we believe. You know, you look at all of these great religions and all of these types of things. Not a one of them will ever give you a Savior because they can't. If you ever really think about it, they can give you this, they can tell you how to get there and all that, but they don't give you a Savior because there's only one. And that's what just rubs everybody raw. Well, it's got to be another way or this or that. No, there is but one way. I am the truth, the way, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I love how the Lord makes it so exact and perfect in that wonderful work on the cross. Hallelujah. But now, it didn't end there. As heirs of God, we have even been given the much the more glory. And not just beholding the glory, but his divine grace given to us by Paul's gospel through suffering together with him. See, that's glory. See, when you suffer together with him, that's the glory. The glory just hasn't been revealed yet, but he gives it. Every time, it's the reward. It's those acts of due benevolence. Remember we talk about that? Those are the gifts between a husband and a wife. He's giving us those because there's nothing more precious than suffering together with Jesus. Amen. And Paul said, bring on them infirmities. Oh, bring them on, bring them on, bring them on. Do you see how much more we need to hear the Word of God and be in the Word of God? Don't anybody act tough around here because you can't do that. Only God can perform it in us. Amen? And see, he's faithful that even when we shy up to those sufferings, he brings us right in. Because you know what? We're dumbstruck in love and we just go out and, you know what, Lord, I'm coming unto you out from among the camp. But what's going to follow? You're going to follow. Right there is going to be those sufferings. And they're going to hit you. And see, I don't need to go find them. Matter of fact, I don't want to find them. I have enough undue suffering in my life. I want those purposeful ones that he brings. But see, even when I entangle myself into stuff that maybe I shouldn't have been entangled with and brought some of that on, do you know that he that is faithful and true, he says, you know what? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Isn't that marvelous about our Lord? That even when we mess up, as we yield to him and call out in Jesus' name, he'll take that mess. And he'll give you, praise God, the beauty for the ashes. It's so wonderful. He is so for us. He's so beyond, so wonderfully for us. Can we not see it as we began tonight with these disciples, as he's just rejoicing with the Father about their great faith? I'm serious. One of us would go over to him, "Wake up, Jesus. These guys really don't believe you that much." You know how you would do that. But see, this is what he's telling you, honey. It's faith. And I have to give it to you. And I'm just rejoicing. Don't look for some magnificent stuff. I'm magnificent. I'm the magnificent one. Just believe me. Oh, it's you just can't even express it. Praise the Lord. But see, that's the glory, is through the suffering. And what does it say here as we go back into Romans 8, and it says there in 17? It says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God." But see, it didn't stop there. The offering didn't stop. It says, "And joint heirs with Christ." Again, I mentioned that word. It's sunkleronymous in the Greek. I love that word. It should be your favorite word. I know it is. By the grace of God, you wouldn't be here. Even if you don't know the word, you know it in your heart. But sunkleronymous, joint heirs, means as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. That you enter in that participation that truly ones that are wed do. We're one. It's not this is mine and this is yours. It's ours. And this is the joint heirship. And children never enter into the joint heirship. They don't. They're wonderful. They get an heir. They're an heir, but they'll never be a joint heir. The only joint heir is the one that will be the spouse. And praise God for this. And it's clear. But it didn't just say, "and joint heirs with Christ." It didn't. There's a caveat. There's a qualification with that. "If so be that we suffer together with him, that we may be also glorified together." There's a suffering together. Mentioned that many times. I mean, just get the visual. You can go and marry somebody, be like, you know, "Here, I married my wife, and we courted and all of that. Great, we're married. See ya." What? Well, but we're married, but we'll just live apart. And, or you're married, and some things start to happen. Whoa, don't bring that stuff to me. You go suffer by yourself. Marriage don't last that long, does it? You enter in. And when you love, you want to be there. And you want to encourage. And isn't this just so wonderful that he's the encourager all the time? But he is so encouraged in us when we take his encouragement. It's reciprocated all the time. Beyond. Okay. Let's move on. So, as we talk about here, the ruling and reigning. The bridal glorious church is sanctified by the husband without spot or wrinkle. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Let's go on over to Ephesians chapter 5. Finishing this out tonight might go a little bit longer. I pray that it'll just be something that you'll chew on and enjoy. All right, so in Ephesians chapter 5, and in the 25th verse, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And brothers, that's a wonderful encouragement to us. Amen? But this is even the much the more that we're talking about. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." So see, here we are to that sanctify again, aren't we? And how does the Lord sanctify that church? How does he bring that again out from among the camp? This is speaking of the rib portion here, brothers and sisters. This isn't the church as a whole. This is speaking about the glorious church. This is speaking about that wonderful white linen that she descends from heaven having the glory of God. This is that sanctification that set apart to him the vessel for his own use. And how does he sanctify? Cleansing it with the washing of water by the word. Remember as we read about the disciples, remember how Peter spoke out too fast? He said, "Oh Lord, just wash me all over." He said, "No, you've already been washed, son. But I'll wash your feet." The word needs to wash our feet daily, encourage us all the time. And this is how that sanctification happens. "That he might present it to" what? "To himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle." There's nothing, there's no gaps, there's nothing between. It's perfect, there's a oneness or anything. "But that it should be holy," completely set apart, completely without blemish. That word blemish means a chaste virgin unto Christ. Isn't that wonderful? This is that wonderful bridal message here. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished, cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. There's your joint heir. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Lord, help us to reverence you more and more. Genesis 2:23, you'll read there about Adam as he saw Eve, and he said, oh, she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. We're one. We're one. Isn't that wonderful? Go on over to Colossians 3:9. It just gets better and better. So in Colossians 3:9, it says here, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and ye have put on the new man. See, you have, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's how we are one. That's the being of this oneness, brothers and sisters. And above all these things, put on love, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. See, that's the love. That's that bond of that oneness, that completeness, which is beyond. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. What encouragement. Amen. See, we get bitter. We get all of these things, start to think of ourselves. That ain't one. That is not being one. Uh-uh. It's in this love. It's in the life of Christ. You ever want to be one, it's going to be in him. It's going to be in his mind and his thoughts. As it tells us in Ephesians 4:13, read that to you real quick. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, that's the oneness. The oneness is in that perfect man. That perfect man, that means that one that's fully grown, mature, complete, unto the measure, stature of the fullness of Christ. Speaking truth in love, what happens? We grow up into him in all things, don't we? Did you hear that? See, he's about all in all. I know we're sitting here thinking, well, how could I just grow up fully in the Lord? You can. By living truth in love. It's right there. God gives it. It's right there for us. Believe him for it. Just walk in it. Amen? And it'll be. So, see, this is the bridal oneness. This is the pinnacle, the complete, fully mature, full overcomer in Jesus Christ. The blessed oneness of Christ Jesus and his wife. And listen to this. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Now, he said this back in verse 21, but it was, he said, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. That was for mankind to believe. But now it's for mankind to know that thou hast sent me. Yes, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But then it goes on to say that, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So he's going to make this known that he has loved them as he has been loved to the Father. See, this is the height. This begins to get a vision of Revelation 3 of that Philadelphia church. And it says, I'm going to make known to all that I have loved you. That's what happens in a wedding. Can we get that? You see what I'm saying? When you get married, when that groom gets married, he's letting everybody know that this is the one he loves. This is his wife. This is why the bride adorned descends from heaven having the glory of God. It's all here. It's line up on line, and he just continues to bring this out, and it's so wonderful. This, once again, is another facet of the glorified together that he has offered to us right now through Paul's gospel by the power and leading of the fullness of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And that's what it is. It's the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And the Father loves us as the Son. I'll give you some verses here to think about. Ephesians 1, 4, and 6. Matter of fact, let's just read it. Can't go out of here without reading that. That's just beautiful stuff. In Ephesians 1, 4, and 6, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He loves us. He loves us. He's enjoined us. Oh, my goodness, brothers and sisters, we have that same access, that same love, that same communion. It's so wonderful. And notice what Jesus says here. He says, I will, Father. If you go back to John, Jesus says, I will. I will that they be with me. I will. And I think, what wonderful love. This is the first time that really the Lamb speaks in such authority and reverence to the Father. He says, I will that they which thou hast given me be with me. That they be with me. And this is just that love that, you know, he knows what the Father's going to do. But he's just telling him again. Do you know how much he loves you? And he, and let me tell you something, it wasn't easy for, in a sense, he didn't want to be apart from us in that regard when he ascended, but yet at the same time, he knew that the fullness, there was no other way it was going to happen. And all this because of the Father's love that was so sweetly stated, so beautifully in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him, he gave him, he gave him. Praise the Lord. Let's finish it up quickly with verses 25 and 26. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have I have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So this is this wonderful close of this chapter, this incredible love for us. At this end, he differentiates between the world. See, the world does not know the righteous Father, but Jesus knows the righteous Father. And those that the Father has given Jesus, we know him too. We know the righteous Father. As it says in Romans 5:21, grace reigns through righteousness. Remember how we studied about that and rejoiced that we have been made the very righteousness of God in him? And remember how we read so beautifully that God loves his righteousness? We've been made the very thing that God loves. See, it's all done. And it's all set in his favor and in our favor. He loves us. He adores us. But see, without receiving his grace, brothers and sisters, there is no way to the Father. There is no way, again, to know the Father. But through Jesus Christ, as we read, the very image of the Father, he has the very mind, he's the very equal with the Father. The very love of God, the love between the Son and the Father, it's ours. And the last thing I'll say here, do you see how he says, Father, your love, my love, our love, in me, and all these different things? Do you see the double portion that keeps pouring forth? There's a double portion going on here. And it's so beautiful because, yes, we're sons and daughters if we'll grow up fully. Because as we've been encouraged many times, yes, we're sons of God. When we're born of God, when we are saved, we become sons of God. But he wants us to grow up fully. And as in the Song of Solomon, it says, sons and daughters, the daughter-in-law to the Father. All of that precious love and that oneness that's just beyond. Brothers and sisters, as we end, there's complete access and acceptance in the Beloved. This much love is what we're getting at here. And can you imagine? He's going to send the Holy Ghost to shed the love of God abroad. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot in here, and we're just not even scratching it. We're just looking at it. But ain't he lovely? Praise God. Sure love you. Thank the Lord for Christ in you, and thank God that you're beginning to really rejoice that that's the hope of glory. He put it all in you. The hope of all glory, the hope of all eternity is the life, praise God, that he put in you. Let's stand and be dismissed.